We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome in, Stern and Show in here. I want to do something real quick, man. We done messed up. You know, we done messed up. This on me. I take the blame on this, but I want to do it right now. Right now, your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Houston Outlaws on March 1st at Revention Music Center. The Houston Outlaws are the new esports team that will be based from Houston. They will not only represent Houston, but will represent Austin, San Antonio. Call on number 5-832-4302-WIN. That's 832-430-2946. And Brian will take care of you. I'm feeling nice right now. Call that man Brian.
Yeah, that's good. He appreciates that, man. He appreciates that.
I got to give him. It's Friday, man. I want him to have
it's a nice Friday too, Show.
And I'm telling you this. And don't think I forgot about you, John, yesterday on the text line. I need to know if you had a real
John
good
from
night.
Spring.
That's right.
That's right.
I need to know, John. You know it is. You know this 713-572-4610. You need to text it, John. Let us know if you had a special night with the lady. That's big for us. That'll take my day to the next level.
Hey, man, hey, that old text line, they done broke me in good. I sat down here. The seat was still warm from Landry Locker, and I look over, and one of them says, Clint, you're a fool.
Oh,
hey, I didn't even get in my seat good, and old text line done popped me one good time.
Well, see, yeah, so they think you a fool, Clint. Hey. You think there's some potential people that's going to be some fools that potentially a draft. Why are you so hard on Justin Herbert?
Man, look, where do you want me to start with this?
Oh, hell, man. I'm going to get the hell out the way.
It's not, I'm critical of Justin Herbert, Show. I mean, it's one of them deals where the media has taken this young fella and they've hyped him up to a point where everybody's got him, number three quarterback being taken, you know, taken in the top 10 or 15. And I just don't know how much of that's media hype, how much of that is real evaluation. And to be completely honest with you, I hadn't watched a ton of his film. I've watched the highlights, which that's usually dangerous and leads you to believe that a guy's better than he really is. So I went into the combine, watching the combine yesterday, and I thought, give this young fella a chance.
And you watch the combine and quarterbacks differently than most. You watch it differently because you coach quarterbacks. This is your thing. You played the position.
Well, Show, it's to me, man, it's one of those things where, I'm sure there's something in your world that you just feel like when you've got a keen eye for it. You know what I mean? There's something out there, and whatever that may be, I got a keen eye for watching quarterbacks and going, hey, man, that right there is wrong with him. His priority needs to be fixing this, and this is detrimental to a point. It's going to be hard to overcome. And so when I watch the combine, I look at it like this: is at some point the NFL has to move beyond falling in love with the big, long, usually it's a white guy, but the big, long 6'4", 6'5", that runs the 4.640. That can throw it 70 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable how many times I listen to the hype and I watch guys get evaluated and pushed into an elite crowd, and it's based off of arm strength, size, and there's no technique. There's no within the evaluation, there's no consideration into what does the NFL game require a quarterback to have damn near naturally, and it has to be elite. You don't just, not just natural, but it's got to be elite. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just do it well. Like, you've got to do it in your sleep.
Let me get this from you, though, because, all right, we know, hell, you know, it's the toughest. It's the toughest position to evaluate because it's the most important, right? And it's the one you got to take. You got to take a chance on. But it's still to say, all right, I've watched this guy. I think this guy is going to be great. And to see that, it's the toughest thing. So if they have him as a third quarterback behind Burrow and Tua, around, you know, some as high as 6, as I've seen, to 15. When you watched him in the combine yesterday, what round did you? Yes.
I think Herbert is a stretch and a huge risk if he's off the board the first day.
The first day. So you see him second, third round.
Yes, at best. And I'm still not, I wouldn't take the gamble.
And that's what you saw from combine yet. Because I'm with you. I probably watched him play against the two most difficult opponents he played last year, and that's Auburn and Utah. And Auburn has that defensive line and has a pro-style type of a defense they're running.
Yeah, Kevin Steele's a monster. Yeah, he's one of the best in the game, defense coordinator at Auburn.
And he didn't look like, okay, that's a first-rounder. And that's just off two games. In Utah, he made mistakes. So I hear you, but you saw that just from the combine, from his technique, everything, because you know the throws that are coming, and you know what you got to do with this, and you saw third round talent.
Yeah, it's like, man. I mean, I'm trying to think of something in the everyday world to compare it to, man. If me and you's out there digging ditches. If me and you've got a shovel and we're out there digging ditches, and I got an old flathead and you got an old regular shovel with that point on it, you're going to dig a little better than me, right? At some point in time, I hope that I can sharpen my shovel up so that I can dig a little faster and be a little more efficient with my time. And eventually, because I'm bigger and stronger than you, maybe I can dig a little bit better, right? But there ain't no guarantee that I'm gonna sharpen that my blade's going to sharpen. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen. I got a big square nose shovel and I got a lot of power behind it, but I ain't real sure that it's ever going to sharpen to the point where I can efficiently compete with the best diggers out there. That's as elementary as I can possibly be. I mean, when you look at a quarterback and you look at this cat and you watch him drop back, and there is clearly zero confidence. You can see him thinking about every step he's taken in a 5 or 7 step drop. Like, you're not guaranteed that guy's ever going to be able to take a 5 or 7 step drop without thinking about his feet with it while he's processing the defense. You're not guaranteed that he's going to be able to do that, because the guys that play the position at a high level in the NFL, they drop in their sleep, right? It's not a – I'm 42 years old. Now, I was technically very sound. I was limited from a talent standpoint, but I was technically very sound. I can go out in 59 right here, and I can give you a hell of a 7-step drop all day, every day, without thinking about it as good as anybody out there. The NFL demands you to have great footwork and not have to think about it. It's got to be natural, and it's got to be elite. To turn the film on and watch a guy in that setting in Schimmel shirts, is that the word anymore? Do people use – they use warm-ups now, don't they?
I believe you just did. I believe you just used it.
But you get my point. To turn the film on and watch that guy in shorts and T-shirt, and I can see him at the NFL Combine thinking about his steps as he's taking them, and then seeing him think about and hope that ball's accurate when he throws it, that is scary as hell, because if he doesn't mature, you know who you got? Mitchell Trubisky.
Oh, God.
You got Josh Allen.
Don't put that in.
I'm telling you.
Mitch?
I saw a white dude that's about 6'4", 6'5", that ran a 4.640 roughly, and his best attribute is throwing the go ball or the post ball over the top. That's what I saw. And I saw a very...
See, I'm never going to look at him the same. You just put the Mitch on him.
I will be honest with you. I would be surprised if I went back and watched Mitchell Trubisky in the combine. I would be very surprised if he lacked the confidence in his feet that I saw from... I don't remember that severe lack of confidence in a guy's feet as I saw in Justin Herbert's feet.
A couple things, because you can't do this to Justin and put that Mitch on him. A couple things. One, Text line, 713-572-4610. What did you feel about, and he reached forward, what did you feel about the analogy of digging ditches that Clint gave to try to support his argument of why Justin Herbert, how did you feel? Did that help you make sense better? Did the digging ditch analogy make it make more sense for you? Because I could tell B-Mac was lost. I don't know. Did it?
Boy, he hit B-Mac. Oh, drive-by with B-Mac. We need to get some kind of 187, some kind of drive-by machine guns to drop in there.
As you said it at the end, that's as elementary as possible. I wonder how many people felt it.
Did you understand what I was saying, Sean?
No, I understood what you said. I understood. I mean, just wonder how many people, if people thought it was a good analogy.
Here's the other side of it. So I'm pissed off that whether it's media driven or just ignorance from a scouting standpoint, that you look at Justin Herbert and you go, hell yeah, I'm putting all my eggs in that basket right there, and we're going to run with it, baby.
They're talking about people trading up to get
Chief,
him.
Chief, I know, bro, and I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Like, what am I missing? Here's the other side of this thing is you got a guy, show that was, I believe, a two-year starter at Oregon. I'm gonna go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the head coach at Oregon probably makes $4 to $5 million a year. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say that the quarterback coach slash offensive coordinator, whoever's responsible for the quarterbacks, is probably making $500,000 a year, $400,000 or $500,000 at the low end, probably making $400,000 or $500,000. If I were, and I'm going to say that to say this, if I were a high school coach and I had a quarterback that had D3 caliber talent or higher, and I got to spend a year coaching this kid, and he left high school and didn't have confidence in his drop and didn't understand like how important your feet are in throwing routes. And whether we were a gun one-step team or not, I don't give a – that's a piss-poor excuse to be lazy if you ask me. If you're playing the quarterback position, the basic fundamentals of playing the position are – some will tell you we'll start and stop with no one having great feet footwork, right? How in the hell do you go to a kid and go, hey, I'm recruiting you, man. I want you to come play ball for me. You come play ball for me. We're going to win a bunch of games with your God-given ability. And then while you're there with me for 2 years, we're going to totally neglect the basic fundamentals of the quarterback position for one reason or another. And then when you get done, we're going to win some games, and I'm probably going to get me a little raise along the way. And then when we get done, you're going to go to the combine, and all the announcers are going to do at the combine are going to give excuses of why your drop doesn't look the way that other quarterbacks look, and it's not up to snuff with NFL caliber quarterbacks. How does that sit with you, Show? If that's your kid, how do you feel about that?
That doesn't make you look good. I mean, you're certainly not looking. I bet you Lincoln Riley felt pretty good yesterday with what his quarterbacks have put out and what Jalen Hurts has put out, how he showed, because he looked pretty good at the combine. Yes, if I'm Oregon's coach and that's my guy who's been under me,
should
that
be
long,
embarrassed. Should be embarrassed, man. It's that, and you're getting me pissed off about it. Now, here we go. We got one. It's text line talking. Steak knife versus a butter knife. You can sharpen the butter knife.
That's a little bit better, I think.
Yeah, it's good. You can sharpen the butter knife and tenderize the steak, but it's still possible that it won't cut as well. Chris and Katie, my man, appreciate that right there. Great, it's a great point. There's just no guarantee, right? And so if you're going to go in there top 10 pick, I got to get me a steak knife. I got to get me a steak knife from
go
the
ahead,
jump.
About it.
Hey, all I got to do is worry about tenderizing that old piece of meat.
Go ahead.
And he
go
can
ahead,
go.
Pick that up.
Hey, that
go
butter
ahead,
knife.
Pick that, up.
That butter knife ain't it. You leave the butter knife for the seventh round.
Go ahead and pick that up. And God, man, you talk about embarrassed. I was embarrassed last night because I turned down sex last night, and unfortunately we don't have enough time in this segment for me to expand on that, but I understand the embarrassment that the Oregon coach is feeling. Anyway.
Hey, we did get old Tech said we're all a little dumber after his analogy. May God have mercy on his soul. Rob. Big Rob. Yeah, you got it.
Maybe we'll have time to tell you why I turned down sex last night from my wife. All right, I'm officially out. I'm officially out. You just took out Justin Herbert. I am done. I am out on Joe Burrow ever becoming an elite quarterback. Elite, he is There is no way that he is going to bring the Bengals to a playoff team.
That's number one overall.
He said something. He said something that I heard today. I'm out. We'll get into that next. All right, welcome back in. A little Stern and Show. I am Ron, the show Hughley, filling in today. And I've gotten a couple messages saying, hold up, Ron, why did you turn down sex from your wife yesterday? Maybe we may have time at some point for me to get there. I'm not happy about it, but I believe it's for good reason, and I believe most of you will respect me for the reason or have felt it. Clint, obviously you have not. You've not been in this situation for the reason why I turned down sex yesterday, but maybe we'll get into it. But I want to get into this first, Clint.
Okay. I don't know where to go with that show.
You're pretty intrigued, but maybe if we have some time.
I got some idea of the details. Hell, I don't know. I don't know where we want to go with that. But hey, look here. Go ahead.
I'm out on Joe Burrow. I'm out. I've been skeptical from the jump, and I remember talking to you guys yesterday. We talked to John Harris, the Texan sideline reporter and analyst. We talked to him, and I said, is there any reminder for you in terms of Joe Burrow and his confidence / cockiness of Baker Mayfield? And I was on an island of my own. I was like, no, I don't see it. And I was always skeptical, Clint, because it's just 1 year. Like, he had never, ever shown to be this accurate to me to be able to spin it the way he did.
Yeah.
He got beat out by Haskins. He got better. He had to move schools. Never before had he ever shown this. A little Mitch Trubisky to me. Never before had he ever shown this. 1 year he showed this, and now you're going to give him the keys to the franchise. I'm a little iffy about that. He did it against the best defenses, but I'd like to see it one more year. And then he did this. Then he went and was asked questions at the combine yesterday, and this is the reason why I'm out.
You know, I really admire Baker's mentality. He, you know, coming in, if you're the number one pick, the team that's picking number one is there for a reason. So you're going to have to come in. There's going to be ups and downs, and you just got to stay steady through the process.
Who the hell stayed steady? Who puts Baker Mayfield and the word steady together? What in the hell has Baker ever been steady? Listen, a lot of the things about playing that position is being the adult in the room. And everything that I would want from my franchise quarterback, Clint, is the complete opposite of Baker. And if you, Joe Burrow, have sat and watched Baker Mayfield, and the word that comes to mind to you is steady. Now, come on, champ. We got to relook at this. Now I'm out, man. He looks at Baker Mayfield as steady. Nope.
Yeah, show, man. I'm torn, man. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm torn, man. Here's the deal. Baker Mayfield has not dealt with the adversity that has been the Cleveland Browns since the day he stepped into a Cleveland Browns uniform. He's done a poor job. He probably underestimated. He had always played, I think, within organization, even in Texas Tech with Cliff Kingsbury. I think I doubt there was a lot of dysfunction within. You go to Oklahoma, it's a well-oiled machine, easy to play quarterback in those types of organizations when everything revolves around you being in the right mental state and surrounding you with great talent and putting you in position to win on a daily basis. And so it's easy to play quarterback in those positions. Let me rephrase that. It's never easy. It's less difficult to play quarterback when those are your surroundings. It is damn near impossible to play quarterback when there is extreme dysfunction around that quarterback. And I don't know that there's been a more dysfunctional organization in all of pro sports than the Cleveland Browns have been over the last several years. And so I say all that to say the adversity that Baker Mayfield has failed, no doubt about it, handling that adversity has been adversity that he really stood no chance. But at the end of the day, as you always say, I'll steal the term, the adult in the room, Baker Mayfield at no point in time has handled the adversity that the Cleveland Browns are as the adult in the room. And you would like to think that a franchise quarterback would be the adult in the room, even when it's damn near impossible for a quarterback to be successful and have success on the field.
And I don't think everything Baker has done has been bad. I actually thought the way he initially handled the Myles Garrett stuff, how he came out there and he seemed to be the face of the organization, and I thought he did well with that. But all the other stuff, Steady just didn't it. And you said the Browns may be the most dysfunctional organization. Well, you know who could have an argument for number two?
Cincinnati.
The Cincinnati Bengals. And that's where Joe's going. And the Cincinnati Bengals have done everything to ensure that he's not going to be set up even with the weapons that Baker had.
Right.
When it got
with the damn sure not the advantage. I mean, he's going into every game on Sunday with a huge disadvantage from culture standpoint, from a talent standpoint, from a more than likely a play caller standpoint. More times than not, he's going to be behind the eight ball. He's either going to have a guy that's not very good at it or a guy that's unproven, and you're trying to build to a point where you're a legit NFL caliber play caller. And I'm not even sure who the play caller is in Cincinnati
Zach
right now.
Taylor.
I'm assuming it's the head coach, Zach Taylor, right?
Zach Taylor, and he's just getting the Sean McVay rub that everybody got, and that's why he got that job.
So he's still trying to prove himself. The fact of the matter is, Show, and you're touching on something that being with the SEC Network the few years that I was, like I was adamant about, man, is you got a handful of teams that take the field in college football in the SEC with a huge advantage from a talent standpoint. LSU is one of them. LSU is one of those teams that, hell, all you got to do is go to a game, stand on the sideline, and you look at one sideline, and then you look over to LSU's sidelines. Them boys they got in that Tiger uniform that are working out in Death Valley over there, them are different monsters now. And so just a lot changes from when you leave Oklahoma and go to Cleveland. And when you leave LSU and go to Cincinnati possibly, there's a big, big difference. And it's a whole different skill set, Show, to survive in that world than it is to walk in and get handed the keys to a damn Ferrari, right? You walk in and you get handed the keys to an old jalopy, old Pinto, and you're supposed to go run with the Ferraris and run with the Porsches. It's a different monster now. And so I say all that, and in no way, shape, or form am I giving Baker Mayfield a pass, because he has failed miserably for a long period of time now when it comes to riding the ship in a very dysfunctional organization. Now, I don't think he had much help either, but when it's all said and done, when you're a franchise quarterback, they're drafting you to change things, right?
I'm sorry. If I were meeting and I'm looking at and I'm thinking about pulling the trigger on Joe Burrow, and like I've said, we talked about it with Dak yesterday, that one position, and you know it, that position is more than just about what you do on the field. Like, I don't care if I'm thinking about drafting a defensive end and he gets caught with failing a drug test at the combine. I don't give a damn about that. He's a defensive end. My quarterback does. I really, really, really care about mindset, focus, and decision-making. And the last thing that I want to hear is you admire Baker Mayfield for what he did last year and – how steady he was as the quarterback of the Browns. Now, that makes me blink. That makes me, well, what the hell? That's what your definition of steady is. You admire it, which in ways to me says that's what I want to do. And you want to handle it like
that? Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I don't know where he gathered his intel.
Deshaun would never say that. Deshaun Watson would never come out, and he would not come out. He would never say that.
No, it was a mistake. It was clearly a mistake. And I know this though, man. I know that they're up against a very similar situation. And I'm telling you, Show, it's an absolute monster. People talk about he should pull a Eli Manning. You damn right he should. You damn right he should.
You wouldn't go to Cincinnati.
No.
Carson Palmer is telling him, "Don't do it."
Chief, let me have that kind of talent where I'm a first round draft pick in the NFL, and I've got a decision to make, and I can I can I can somewhat orchestrate where I end up playing pro ball. You want me to go to Cincinnati? Nah, I'm out on that deal. And by the way, are they going to sign A.J. Green? I just
Where's
told
the competitor
you.
In you? Where's the competitor saying, hey, I'm Clint Sterner,
you know
I can
what?
Turn it around.
You're like one of them damn college coaches that wants to sit down in front of all these damn high school kids and talk about it. You scared of competition? Well, I signed the number one quarterback in the country last year and the number one pocket passer in the year before, but you're scared of competition if you don't come play. No, it's called a business decision. It's called a very smart business decision, Chief. I'm out on it. I just ain't going to play ball in Cincinnati. I'm gonna be honest with you. These guys that move up in that first round like that and draft a quarterback and think that's the answer, that's gonna turn. It's not, man. You got to get a lot of stuff right around a quarterback before that poor guy has a chance. The risk of you ruining that guy before you get good enough to give him a chance to play a position at a high level is a lot greater than him coming in there and turning your organization around in a year.
All right, coming up, we're going to discuss this. Texans fans, should the Texans be concerned if the Indianapolis Colts turn to Phillip Rivers to be their starter? We'll get into that next. Back at it, a little Sterner show. Ron, the show, Hughley filling in for Clint Sterner. Clint, man, this combine, I get lost in it. I didn't just got lost in it right now. It is amazing to me, athletes. This kid, he is the number one tackle, Makai Beacon from Louisville, 6'7", 365, 5 flat 40.
Big boy's moving now.
Come on, man. I ain't never ran a 5 flat 40.
I don't have a hard time believing that.
Okay.
Set yourself up for that one, show.
I'm just saying, I had a little sneak of an athlete in me. I ain't never had no five. I mean, he is 6'7", 365, moving. Amazing.
Can you tell me if the offensive lineman running a 40-yard dash is conducive to playing good football? Just curious.
Nah, that's stupid. No, that 10, though. The
Get out, yeah. The get out, the change of direction, that's it. I look at the off, and I'm with you. I mean, look, Teron Armstead, out of University of Arkansas Pine Bluff. He's an all pro or Pro Bowl left tackle, I believe, for the New Orleans Saints. I mean, he came out of a small school, unknown, goes up there, and I believe he ran a 4.7, and that's how he got drafted earlier. You know, that's how he made his name. So I understand where it can show some serious athleticism, but man, I don't know that I really need my offensive lineman get high kneeing for 40.
I guess that's what it is. It shows what type of an athlete. Maybe you feel like you can do more things with him and pull and get him out on the
Larry
edges.
Larry Allen's the best I've ever been around. And Larry Allen ain't giving you no more than 10 to 12. He's done. 10 to 12 on the old pool, and he is done, brother.
Hey, we talked about this. I'm sorry. We talked about this a little bit with Brady yesterday, and I thought you brought up a really cool point. Like, hey, man, if Brady goes to the Titans, if you're Texans, please.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Yes.
Please. It weakens just takes the Patriots probably off the board. I don't know a quarterback that you would feel comfortable. I mean, who was the Red Rifle is somebody you're hearing. A.J., whatever his name is, who was Bengals' hit quarterback, may be able to one that go there. I just lost his name. It weakens the Patriots. And like you said, I don't know how of a fit Tom Brady is with the Titans. What about Phillip Rivers? Phillip Rivers to you, if the Colts – because I feel like of all the rumors that we hear about quarterbacks moving, I feel like – Phillip Rivers to the Colts is going to happen. Where are your thoughts? Are you a bit more concerned?
I would love for Phillip Rivers to be in Indy.
As a Texans fan.
As a Texans fan. That takes me back to my years in Dallas, my first year with Troy Aikman. We had gone back to – the offense that they had won the Super Bowl. The plan was to go back to the terminology and everything. Brought Ernie Zampezi in as a consultant type of role. Jack Riley came back in from who then was the St. Louis Rams. had spent some time, and I think Zampezi may have even spent some time with them, but nonetheless, brought everybody back in, tried to get the band back together from the Super Bowl years and as much as they could, and then try to make a run at the playoffs. And it was a run-heavy, forced the defense to close the middle of the field and then attack on the sidelines and attack with some action and things like that. And I just remember, man, Troy just – he was as good as there was in the business at anticipating, getting the ball up early, accuracy – unbelievable, but he had lost so much arm strength at that point in time that he just couldn't drive the ball to the sideline. He couldn't make the big boy throws outside the numbers any longer. And so when I think about Phillip Rivers to the Colts, I think the Colts would be foolish to get away from a downhill running attack. So I start the conversation there that I got to believe that it would be a downhill running attack, force the safety into the box, and then throw the ball around the park a little bit. With Phillip Rivers at this point in his career, I would think that defenses that were forced into a situation where they had to put a safety in the box and close the middle of the field, I would think that they would be smart enough to take away the in-breaking routes, the underneath stuff, and really force – Phillip Rivers to consistently make the big arm throws, and I just don't know that he's capable of it, man. I think if Phillip Rivers has time left in this league, it's in a team that's going to put him in gun, exactly what the Chargers did, but protect him better, right, with an offensive line, get a defense that can stop somebody, and let him pick a defense apart by anticipating and throwing guys open and holding on to the ball to the last second and then get fitting it in the coverage down the field. I just don't know that he's a good fit in a run heavy scheme right now, Show.
I'm not even confident that he's better than their other option right now. I completely agree with you. Now, a lot of the things that we hear is, oh, look at this offensive line he would be working with. I don't even know if it's known that they will have Eric Ebron coming back. There have been talks that he may move on. T.Y. Hilton is often injured. Marlon Mack is solid and better with their offensive line. But, Clint, man, do you remember that moment when you – and I know you watch a lot of ball. You remember that moment when you saw, oh, Peyton Manning's done. Remember one of those – it probably was an out route. It probably was a one of those sideline deep out routes,
yeah,
where he just didn't have what he used to have on it, and it happened quick, in a year's time. And a lot of times, this is what people are waiting on with Brady. Phillip's there. Phillip, you can stick a fork in Phillip. I'm
with you.
I watch you. He is done. The ball flutters on him. He's even worse than Peyton, because Peyton could at least think his way through stuff and trick you, right, yeah, with his mind and everything. Phillip, who is a borderline Hall of Famer, but Phillip, he's worse than Peyton. He's turning the ball over at a rate where sometimes it doesn't feel like he gives a damn. Hell, I'm just putting it up. He's throwing punts up in the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Like, he's just worse. So Texans fans, in my opinion, should celebrate if they make this decision to go with him, because he's Peyton Manning. He's done.
Show, you make a great point with Peyton Manning, but there's nobody maybe in the history of the game that took the whole take what the defense gives you.
Yes.
There's I don't know if there's anybody ever been better in the game than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. You know what I mean? And Peyton was so good at it because he was the offensive coordinator, and he literally every play had the playbook as an audible system, right? The entire playbook he could go to at any point in time to take advantage of a defense. And so he was able to survive. Hell, he won a Super Bowl throwing ducks out there. He won a Super Bowl throwing old greenhead mallards out there, man. It was terrible, but he somehow, great defense, protected the football and threw it on time. Took what the defense gave him. I just to think that, to put it to like in, with your comparison with Peyton Manning, like if I thought that Phillip Rivers could go somewhere and mentally as well as I don't know, schematically have that type of offensive system in his head where he's the offensive coordinator essentially, and he could take what the defense gave them at that level, then I would say, sure, Phillips got – I see enough in Phillips' arm to go, if he were in Peyton's mind, yeah, he could play a little bit longer. But I just don't see it in Indy. I love him in Indy. For the Texans. If I'm the Texans, I love him in Indy, yeah. And I love Brady in Tennessee.
Yeah, corners get ready for interceptions. Safeties and corners get ready because Phil's going to throw them to you. You just got to catch them. No, I mean, Peyton could – he studied so hard, so he knew, all right, if I run this, he'll have guys wide open. So even though he doesn't have an arm, he studied the game so much and knows the coverage so well, he's got people open.
He had an answer. He had an answer for absolutely damn near everything, right? Can't say everything. That's a long time. But he had an answer for so many more situations. And when I say he had an answer, he had an answer in 10 seconds.
Yes.
Right? I mean, a lot of offensive coordinators got answers. The problem is they can't communicate it to their quarterback and get their quarterback to communicate it to the other 10 guys all within a time of a play clock, right? I mean, that's the deal, is that Peyton Manning, it was all in his head. So if there was 10 seconds on the play clock, he could get to damn near any play in their playbook. And so his ability to have answers is like no other quarterback that I know of that's played the game. I mean, when you think about how he had those answers, he was the offensive coordinator. And yeah. So Phillip Rivers ain't doing that for you. And so Phillip Rivers, hey, Houston, I'm telling you, when you hit the knees tonight next to the bed to make the to get your prayers before bedtime, pray that Brady is in Tennessee and that Phillip Rivers is in Indy, and you can rest assured that Bill O'Brien will get you another division title.
Clint, I'd easily be more concerned if Jameis Winston was there, and Jameis go throw you picks and everything. But I'd be more fearful or concerned with Jameis Winston than I would be with Phillip Rivers.
I'll agree because in Indy, if they're able to go, hey, Winston, here's the deal. We're gonna cut you week two if you throw more than two picks in week one. Like you're gonna get cut if you even flirt with 30. Like we're gonna run the football until they close the middle of the field, and when they do that, we're gonna throw bombs. We're gonna throw back shoulders. We're gonna throw comebacks. We're gonna play a high percentage quarterback in Indy. They've got the recipe to do that. The key with Winston, man, Winston's a good quarterback. I mean, the key with him is if anybody can ever get in that, can they get in that head? Bro, hey, look here. My man can spin the rock.
You can still be a good quarterback throwing 30 picks.
No, you can't. I mean, as long as he's throwing 30 picks, I'm at that conversation. Somebody hit me the other day with, well, Peyton Manning threw 30 picks or some odd picks or something.
Year one.
Well, yeah, back in year one. Well, yeah, right. So my point is, if somebody can ever get in that head of Jameis Winston's and flip that switch and go, man, I mean, I can deal with 20. I can't deal with 30, right?
Yeah.
Then he can win football, especially if you limit the number of times that he's throwing the football. You run heavy and play good defense. Look, Jameis scares me more than Phillip. There's no doubt about it. The problem is you know, going into a game, Jameis is going to give you about two or three boneheads that's going to give you a chance to win the game.
Yeah, he's scaring the hell out of the Colts as well. as well too. All right, we could play this every hour, I swear before God. If you have not heard the James Harden audio, if you've not heard James Harden sit down with ESPN's Rachel Nichols, and he's had enough, and I don't blame him, and I love this goes deeper. Like Giannis has made it a point to have fun and attack James Harden, and James Harden's not laughing. There's no joke. He's not cackling. No, he ain't doing that. He letting you know. Like, nah, man, ain't funny, man. Nah, I'm coming after that ass. He is following in the footsteps of his leader, Russell Westbrook. If you've not heard this audio, this is what I call, and I'll explain after the audio, but this is what I call the new championship DNA of the Houston Rockets.
You know, when it's all said and done, you know, they'll appreciate it more, you know, but I wish I could just run and with 7 feet and run and just dunk. Like, that takes no skill at all. I got to actually learn how to play basketball and how to have skill you know. I take that any day.
It was the chuckle after.
Yes.
Because that chuckle really, to me, just he said, B, I just want to say that's what he said. That's what the chuckle meant. That's what it meant. That's what he wanted to say. But who would have ever thought this, Clint? Who would have ever thought? Like, in the NBA, it is widely known. There's probably about three or four players that you say, these guys are talented as hell, man. These guys are first ballot Hall of Famers. These guys are some of the best in the league. Westbrook, Harden, Anthony Davis. But they're not championship worthy. They don't make their teammates better. They're not there when you really need them. They're not like LeBron or Durant or Steph. They're in a different class. Who would have ever thought that bringing Harden and Westbrook together, that now they are creating that DNA of a champion that you didn't think they had? It is the most astonishing thing that I've ever seen, that the two of them playing together has made them that.
Show, it is hard to believe. I mean, this is crazy we're having this conversation.
It's evident.
I'm with you. Look, man, I mean, when you watch what they did, what they've done on the court, it's hard to believe that they've done the 180 with the small ball and it's been as successful as it is. It's hard to believe that Westbrook is as you said, is leading the troops, okay? Now when you look at the way that Harden all of a sudden shows that he's got just a little bit of dog in him, is something that I think Houston Rockets fans, I think, have had a hard time falling in love with James Harden because of how passive he is, how nonchalant he is, both on and off the court, right? Both ways.
Yep.
To the point of where you hear Shaq and all these guys, and not Shaq, but Barkley, and Shaq and Ernie and Kenny and those guys on TNT, you hear them talk about Harden in a negative light. You hear Giannis make comments in a negative light, to the point of where if you're a fan, you're like, man, they're just disrespecting our guy. You know, it almost makes you mad at James Harden because of the disrespect that he gets outside of Houston. Well, I can't tell you how refreshing it is as a guy that I'm guilty of everything I just said. I didn't like the ISO ball style of play, and I was not a big fan of Harden because of it. It was hard to watch the Rockets because of it for me. It was hard to listen to guys talk trash without going, damn it, James, say something. To think that they've gone from that to where they are now on and off the court, and it's gotten to the point where James Harden is firing back at the Greek Freak, is absolutely beautiful.
It's an appropriate amount of edge that they have needed to have. And it felt like Russell would have too much of the edge when he was at OKC, just too much. And it seemed like Russell would get into a place where he was just going to prove people so wrong so much that it became bigger than winning.
Right.
And then, as you said, James was nonchalant, and sometimes you would just feel like, all right, man, maybe he is what they say, that he's about the stats and the numbers. These two coming together has somehow have, like, met in the middle with this.
Yes.
And they are right there. That's everything Jordan would say. If somebody was talking to Jordan like that, he wouldn't blow up. James didn't. He didn't blow. He wasn't yelling. He just, come on, man. Really? I'm not laughing. But we here for that ass. And that is something. It is unreal to me. Them two playing together has made themselves championship like. It's unreal.
You were speaking. You talking about Jordan? Did you see that Kevin Garnett stuff on Jordan a couple weeks ago that dropped?
I missed it.
When Kevin Garnett was a rookie, and I can't remember who the other player was. Man, it was an older guy that was playing a game against Jordan, and for like the first three quarters or whatever, he had Jordan. He was out playing Jordan, and I can't remember who it was. But anyway, Garnett, it was his rookie year, and he's talking trash, you know. And old boy that's guarding Jordan is like, man, shut up, man. He can hear you. He's right there, man. Shut up, man. And Garnett keeps doing his thing. Well, Jordan went off in the fourth quarter and ended up beating them, and Garnett and this old boy on the sideline. Garnett looked at him and said, "Man, I'm sorry, I won't ever do it again." You got to find that audio. It's absolutely beautiful because they go back and forth of these two cats telling the story about Jordan and Garnett. I mean, he just swallows his ego and tells the story, and it is absolutely priceless.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.